our topic tonight, out of 1 Kings chapter 14 and 2 Chronicles chapter 13. We're going to be looking at these two chapters as they overlap a little bit. Jeroboam, Abijah, and Abijah. This is where the kings of the two nations start getting a little confusing. We'll try and keep it simple. You see here over in the top northern kingdom, Jeroboam, the first king. We're going to be looking again at him today. I think this is about the fifth time. We'll be learning a portion of his life. And it'll be the last one. He dies tonight. And then below that, you have King David and Solomon. Yeah, praise God, right? And Rehoboam. Rehoboam was consecutive with Jeroboam. And so now we're going to pick up with Abijah, below him, his son. So Abijah, son of Rehoboam, from King. And we'll be looking at a little bit of his history tonight as well. Okay, so from the bottom and the top there. And we'll be starting at the top, and then the second portion we'll be looking at the bottom. We'll be looking at both sides, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom tonight. Abijah, the son of Jeroboam. So the son of, let me back up a little bit. Okay, I just said here, Rehoboam in the south has a son named Abijah, and he becomes king. Well, the text he just started to read said Jeroboam, the northern kingdom, had a son named Abijah. So both the king of the north and the king of the south, similar enough names, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, they both have, confuse it even more, they both have kids, and they both decide to name their kids Abijah. Now, what Abijah means in Hebrew is Ab or Ab, the father, and then Yah, the God. And so, God is my father, or my father is God. And so they both name their kids that name, Abijah, or Abijah in English. Okay, so back to the text. 1 Kings chapter 14. Again, the northern tribes we're talking about first. Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And so Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, disguise yourself, that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam. And go to Shiloh, and Ahijah, the prophet, is there, who told me that I would be king over this people. Take loaves, cakes, and honey, and he will tell you what will become of the child." So with this background, we need to go back several weeks, even before Jeroboam became king. So even before the five sermons we've looked at having to do with the time of Jeroboam, back to the time of Solomon, where Jeroboam is first mentioned. Solomon was king. He wasn't following the Lord. And the Lord sent this prophet, Ahijah, to go to Jeroboam, who at that time Jeroboam was just a servant of Solomon, was one of the workers. Solomon put him in charge of the men of Ephraim, I believe. And then this prophet comes along and pulls him aside and says, wearing a coat with him, brand new coat, and he rips it in 12 pieces. And he says, "Here, you take 10 of them, and 10 of the tribes are be given over to you. And two are going to remain for David and Solomon," in that line. And so right there, so now he remembers that prophet. Many years have gone by. He's been king for many years and not following the Lord for many years. He remembers he's got a sixth child. And so now he's really concerned. He's probably tried everything else. And so now he's going to eat crow, as they say, and go to the prophet, who's in the southern tribes, no doubt, and go to him and ask him about his son. But interestingly enough, he wants his wife to disguise herself so that he doesn't know it's the wife of Jeroboam. He knows he's not living right. He knows the prophet's not happy with him. He knows the prophet is not, in favor of the lifestyle that he's living and the way he's leading Israel. And so he says, disguise. He doesn't go down himself either. and plead before the Lord and before the prophet, saying, forgive me, I have sinned. Lead me in the right way. Show me what I should be doing. How can I turn the kingdom around and turn it back to God as God had wanted and God had called me to do? No. He's such a coward. He sends his wife and he tells his wife to disguise herself. Don't let it be known you're the wife of Jeroboam. But he still sends him to the prophet of God. Led him in the way in the beginning. Thank you. And Ahiam could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. But the Lord said to him, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to ask you about her sick son. And when Ahiah heard her footsteps, he said, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? I have been sent to you with bad news. You can't pull the wool over the Lord's eyes. Even if his prophet is old and can't see, the Lord can still see. The Lord sees. We cannot hide. We cannot pretend. You know, I mean, if the prophet was able to see into the future and tell him he was going to be ruler over 10 tribes, certainly the Lord could see through a disguise of a woman disguising herself. You know, we're so silly. You know, we think the Lord doesn't see our trickery, our lies, our selfishness, our greed, our anger. Justify these things. Try and hide it from the Lord. We can't hide from the Lord. The Lord sees. Tell Jeroboam, for Kings chapter 14, verse 7. Tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom from the house of David. Yet you have not been my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all of his heart to do only what was right in my eyes. You have done more evil than all who were before you. I will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel. The dog shall eat of Jeroboam, whoever dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken. Therefore go, and when your feet enter the city, the child shall die. What a gruesome prophecy. Dismal. No fooling around with the Lord, right? The Lord's word, the Lord has seen, the Lord had high expectations for this person. Put him in a high position. Gave him the majority of the tribes, 10 of the tribes. And in one generation, less than 22 years, he totally blows it. And the Lord comes down. It's pretty heavy. Your kids who are in the city are going to be eaten by dogs, and your kids who are out in the field are going to be eaten by birds. And this kid that you're so worried about, he's going to die the minute the wife enters the city. Heavy, heavy prophecy. Now, with that prophecy, and you remember what he said about David in the verse we just looked at, right? The verse just before, he said, my servant David, who kept my commands and who followed me with all his heart, knew only what was right in my eye. Is that true?
True.
Did David do only what was right in God's eyes? Well, this is God talking through the prophet. So either God is wrong or you're wrong, right? You can't say no when God says yes. Does it say later on in his life he only did what was right in my eyes? Or only when he was young that he only did right in my eyes?
He said it used a man.
We have, he killed Uriah, had Uriah killed. He commits adultery, Uriah's wife. He counts, he has the men counted, the nation counted when his commander warned him not to do that. He does it anyway, he has the nation counted, and a plague comes through and thousands of people die because of it. Do only what was right in my eyes? How can God say that? Well, we know the history. What does God do with our sins when we confess them? They're gone. He throws them into the depths of the sea. He, in the future, from when David was alive, but the sacrifice, animals died. They were transferred from David to the lambs. The lambs taken into the sanctuary, killed in the sanctuary. The sin transferred into the sanctuary. And then on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the sanctuary is cleansed. And the sins are gone and removed and remembered no more. All prophesying of what the Messiah would do, that the Messiah would come, that our sins would be transferred from us to him, and that he would pay the price for them, and they would be killed and buried in the tomb and left in the tomb, removed from us. And so when we get to heaven, God's going to say about us, so-and-so did only what was right in my eyes. Because the only thing, the only thing that's going to be on our record is what God did through us. And the records of our sin, confessed sins, have been blotted away and removed from us. And that's why he can say that about David. So when he gives this message about David, no doubt Jeroboam had also known that history. And so he's giving a message here through the prophet, a hint through the prophet, that there's hope. Even though I'm saying, your son's in the city, you're going to be eaten by dogs, your son's out in the field, you're going to be eaten by birds, and this son is going to die when your wife steps into the city, there is hope. If Jeroboam would have repented at this point, and again, it's too late for that son, once his wife walks into the city to tell him the message, he's goner. But then she comes in and tells him the whole prophecy, and the son just died, and obviously the prophecy is going to come to true. We need to repent. And if they would have gone and repented before the Lord and confessed their sins and worked reformation in their hearts and in their lives and in the country, would this prophecy have to come to pass? No, it would not have passed it. But this is the prophecy. And all Israel, and it continues on, all Israel in chapter 14, verse 13, all Israel shall mourn for this child that's going to die when you walk into the city, talking to the wife still. All Israel shall mourn for him. He is the only one of Jeroboam who shall be buried. All the rest are going to be eating my dogs or eating my birds. Because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord God, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. So this child, the one they're concerned about, my father is the Lord, my father is Yah, my father is God, my father is Yah. The child named by that name is the only one who will be buried. The only one who is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel. That's the one who's sick. That's the one who's going to die as soon as this lady walks into the city. Now, I don't know, maybe if I was her, I wouldn't go back home, right? I wouldn't go to that city, right? I'd stay in some other city. But nonetheless, as soon as she walks into the city, that's the child that's going to die. Now we might ask, well, if that's the child that is the only one in all of Jeroboam's line whom in him is found something good towards the Lord God of Israel, why doesn't God let him live and kill all the rest? And that's the basic question when we see someone who's righteous towards the Lord and he dies, and we say, why did God allow that person to die? Why all these wicked people is he allowed to live a long time sometimes? And here this good person dies so young. Why this child, whom the Lord specifically says has something good in him, he dies young. And the other, Jeroboam, continues to live after this. Another son actually becomes king and then eventually dies. So this prophecy of them all getting beaten by dogs and birds doesn't take place right away. Why? Well, I don't know why. God's ways are not my ways, and yes, death is only temporary, and so for this child, death will only be temporary. No doubt he'll take part in the resurrection when the Lord returns, and he'll live for eternity with the Lord, and that's more important. And maybe God knew that if he stayed alive any longer, the influence of his father and the influence of his brothers and sisters, and the wickedness and living up there in Israel, where the wickedness was taking place in the northern tribes, that influence would have corrupted this good young boy. And so while his heart is still has something good in it towards the Lord God of Israel, the Lord God says, I'll preserve him and seal his record right here and now. And spared him from his family. That could be a possibility. But again, the Lord's ways are not my ways, and I don't know. But God does know. And we can trust the Lord. And the Lord said, he said, it's I, and he died, and we can trust the Lord. And the Lord will strike Israel. He will uproot Israel from this good land and will scatter them beyond the river because they made wooden images, provoked the Lord to anger. So that's talking further into the future. And Jeroboam's wife came to Tizra, and the child died, just as the prophet said. And unless some repentance goes on, that is going to be the history of the northern tribes, of Jeroboam's line and the northern tribes. And if you noticed on that chart, we'll show that chart again, not tonight, but another time. It was Jeroboam, and then after Jeroboam is another one of his sons. And then after that, the line does not continue to the next king. Show you next time. There's no line there. Another king, just as the prophecy says, comes in, and Jeroboam's whole line. God gave him the kingdom, gave him 10 tribes, and his dynasty only lasts 2 generations, just 25 years, if I remember right. But pretty sad. Pretty sad. But God won't be messed with. And he's got good plans for each one of us. He wants us to make the right choices so that he can use us and so that our offspring can make it into heaven and be eternal. For now, going down to the southern tribes, paralleling this time, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam. So Jeroboam again was king for 22 years. So well into it, into his 18th year. I mean, can you imagine that? 18 years out of 22 years. I mean, here in America, we think, wow, sometimes 4 years is more than enough for a president. 8 years sometimes is unthinkable. You know, but then finally, after at least 8 years, we get at least a reproof. At least that's how it is now. I don't know if they'll ever try and change that in the future, but that's how it is now. 18 years with this bum, Jeroboam. Really 22. But up to this point, 18 years under that rulership. So in the 18th year of the King Jeroboam, Abijah, the king of Judah. So Rehoboam reigned for 18 years. Rehoboam dies, and his son, Abijah, becomes king. Can you imagine what Jeroboam was thinking at that time? Here, his son, Abijah, the same name, died as a rebuke, and here Rehoboam's only has 2 tribes. His son, when Rehoboam dies, Rehoboam's son, same name, Abijah, becomes king and continues to reign. What a rebuke to him. What could have been for the northern tribes? What could have been for the 10 tribes? Is lived out in the southern. So Abijah became king over Judah in the 18th year of King Jeroboam. Verse 2 in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Verse 2, he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. He doesn't reign very long. His mother's name was Michaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah, the granddaughter of Absalom. You know who the Absalom is? David's son, the rebellious son, Absalom, who caused a revolt against David, who would have tried to kill David, would have had David killed if he had the opportunity, who slept with David's concubines, that same Absalom is this guy's grandmother. Because Rehoboam married Absalom's daughter. There was war between Abijah in the south and Jeroboam in the north. Abijah set the battle in order with an army of valiant soldiers, 400,000 choice men. Jeroboam also drew up in battle in formation against him with 800,000 choice men, mighty men of valor. So 2-1. That reminds me of a story of a war, and the sergeant was getting his men together, and he said, we're outnumbered 4-1, but have courage, have strength, fight for your country. We'll hold them off as long as we can. And they go into battle, and they're raging and fighting, and the commander or sergeant or whatever he's called, he comes along, and he sees one of the men sitting beside a tree, smoking a cigarette. He says, man, what are you doing? He says, all right, I killed my four. So here they're outnumbered 2-1. That's pretty, pretty heavy odds right there, 2-1. 800,000 choice men, also mighty men of valor. And they no doubt have more in the wings. They've got 10 tribes, remember, against 2. But Abijah said, hear me, Jeroboam and all Israel. The Lord God gave dominion over Israel to David forever. Yet Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. Worthless rogues gathered to him against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and could not withstand them. Do you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hands of the son of David? You are a great multitude, and with you are golden calves, which Jeroboam made for you as gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, the Levites. What a strong message he gives. Reminds him a little bit of the history. Reminds him of God's call. Reminds him of God's plan. The original plan that was supposed to stay with David. And that Jeroboam took it. And these rogue servants that came up and surrounded Jeroboam. They stole the kingdom away from Rehoboam when he was weak. A little bit of rewriting history, a little spin on the history there. He doesn't mention that God prophesied, but nonetheless. He says, God is on our side. On your side are these golden calves that Jeroboam made. They're not the golden calves that led us out of the land of Egypt, like Jeroboam says. Jeroboam himself made them, he reminds them. And the priests, Jeroboam kicked out all the Levites and put in other kind of priests to minister before his golden calf. And so all the Levites left the northern tribes and came down to the southern tribe. And he's reminding them that we have the right Kohanim, we have the right priests, we have the right God, and God is on our side. You got the numbers, but God is on our side, and we have not forsaken him. We keep the command of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you. O children of Israel, do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. He's encouraging them to surrender even before it starts. You got us outnumbered 2-1. But surrender, because the Lord our God is on our side. And we've got the Levites here, and they've got the shofars, and they're ready to sound the trumpets and sound the alarm, and we will win. You will not prosper. strong message from Abijah, the son of Rehoboam, given to Jeroboam, who lost his son, Abijah. And that might be another reason why God let him die, the young boy die at a young age, because Jeroboam did not have his father as God. At one time, God did claim to be his father, anointed him and appointed him as king, but he forsook the Lord. And so he was no longer, God was no longer his father. Here, a young man from the southern tribe, son of Rehoboam, whose father is the Lord. His father is Yah, says the Lord is on our side. Each one of us can claim God on our side as well. When you're faced with difficulties, when you're faced with bills twice as high as the money you have, when you're outnumbered 2-1, when there are people at school or people at work who are against you or against your principles or against your ways, when the peer pressure is on, whatever circumstance you're going through, whatever problem you're going through, it doesn't matter how many are on their side. We can claim the Lord on our side as we allow the Lord to work in our lives, to forgive us our sins as we confess them. He cleanses them, nails them to the Calvary and buries them away and writes our record and fills us with his spirit and brings us into harmony with him so that we can say we have not forsaken him. We keep the command of the Lord our God. And as we claim that, as we claim God's word, as we claim his presence, he makes us more than a match for all of Satan's trials and struggles and attacks as we trust in him. Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them, so they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them as well. Now he's outnumbered 2-1. And their army is now, while he's giving his speech, Jeroboam hasn't wasted any time. He sends a bunch of his men behind. And so now Judah, the southern tribes, are surrounded on both sides. The ambush behind and in front. They're surrounded.
Turn now to the Lord.
Again, instead of listening to the message, instead of repenting, he chooses to try and outdo the Lord, try and do it in his own strength. He tries to march around in their military might and their military intelligence. Sometimes we try and figure out our problems as well. We try and work it out on our own. We try and come up with schemes and try and come up with ways. But we need to listen and hear the Lord's call. When Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear. So now they realize it. Judah realizes it. Abijah realizes it. Oh, they've got us outnumbered 2-1, and they're in front of us and they're behind us. They've cut us off from any supplies or any reinforcements. We are surrounded. How do the people react? How does Judah react? We just said, we keep the command of the Lord. The Lord is on our side. Do they believe it? Do they panic? Do they run?
A little bit of all.
Judah looked around to their surprise. In verse 14, the battle line was at both the front and the rear, and they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. As the men of Judah shouted, God struck Jeroboam and Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. That quickly. God is a mighty God. They held firm in their faith in God. They cried out to the Lord. They blew the shofar just like Abiyah said they should. They shouted a loud shout, just like surrounding Jericho, blowing the trumpets and shouting. And the Lord heard their cry, heard their call, and answered immediately. He outnumbered 2-1. Even surrounded behind and in front, they won the victory. And that's the victory God wants to give to us as well. The devil might try and sneak up and ambush us from behind and from the front and try and cause us confusion, try and get us afraid, try and get us to panic, try and get us to scatter. We need to trust in the Lord and call out to Him. Cry out to Him. Blow the shofar in Zion. Give the shout to the Lord. Cry out to Him, and He will answer us in our time of need. Depend on Him. Make sure our lives are right with Him. Make sure there's nowhere that the enemy and the devil can claim a right over our lives or an area to attack. Have the Lord as our rear guard. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear Him, and He delivers them. We need to fear the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. We need to respect the Lord. We need to respect God's word. And we need to fear that if we rebel against Him, what happened to Jeroboam, the northern kingdoms, will happen to us as well and to our offspring. But if we fear the Lord and it brings us into harmony and obedience to His word, we can be assured of the deliverance, just as happened for Abiyah, will happen for us as well. 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. The children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. Not because they were mighty men of valor, not because they were so talented, not because they were so wise, not because they were so strong, but because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. And that's where our strength needs to be. That's where our victory needs to be. That's where we will prevail over the attacks of the enemy as we trust in the Lord. We will prevail. We shall overcome as we trust in the Lord. 500,000 choice men of Israel fell. How many did they have to begin with? No?
No.
800. They had 800 and they lost 500 to 400. There was someone there who was knocking off more than just their one. There were some who were getting there too. It was 8-4. 800,000 against 400,000. It was 2-1. 500,000. That's a lot of numbers.
So the guy smoking pill twice on
when you think about it today, the American went to war for 3,000 people dying on 9/11. And Syria has been at war, a civil war, for over a year now. And 40,000 have died. And that's a lot. But 40,000? Compared to, in a year's time, compared to 500,000? That's a lot. Especially with their population, or what was then, compared to what it is now. The Lord came in decisively at the call and the claim of claiming God's promises. That's what Abiyah did. He reminded himself and his men and Jeroboam of what God has done in the past. And was able to rest assured on his hand on God because he had made God their trust. They made God their trust and their lives were in obedience to Him. And we can do the same. And we can trust the Lord as well. And the Lord can work just as mightily for us as well as we trust in Him. Abiyah pursued Jeroboam and took cities from him. And Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abiyah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. Now, Jeroboam doesn't die right there. Told you Jeroboam reigned for 22 years. And Abijah becomes king in his 18th year. And the Bible tells us, how long does Abijah reign? 3 years. So Abijah actually dies before Jeroboam dies. So here, the king who trusted in the Lord only reigns 3 years and dies even before the wicked king dies. But nonetheless, it records here that Jeroboam never recovered and does eventually die. The Lord struck him and he dies.
The Lord is showing Jeroboam will be here.
That's right. The Lord is in charge. No matter what we think, the Lord is in charge. We can trust the Lord. And there again, as we just read in verse 19, Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took cities. So now the line between the northern and the southern tribes have changed. And so now some of the cities that were in the northern tribes are now part of the southern tribes, gaining some of that territory back. Remember, we read a bunch of people during the time of Jeroboam and Rehoboam, a bunch of the people who wanted to serve the Lord left the northern tribes and came to the south so they could worship in the temple and worship the Lord, like the Levites and others. Well, here now even whole cities are being claimed for the Lord. The Lord wants to claim back the lost ground in our lives as well, as we trust in the Lord and rely on Him. So as we pray again tonight, whatever area applies to you, maybe like Jeroboam, been in rebellion, hearing God's message, hearing God's appeal. You want to turn to the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Allow the Lord to cleanse you. Allow the change to take place in the negative prophetic outlook that might be waiting at your doorstep. Maybe there's some calamity in your life, like they had, the sickness of their son, maybe some other calamity in your life. Maybe you feel like you're outnumbered 2-1. Maybe you've got enemies against you. And instead of being like Jeroboam in the north and trying to hide in disguise and try and get a message from the Lord in a roundabout way, you'd rather be like Abijah in the south and cry out to the Lord and claim God's promises, claim God's strength, claim God's assurance. Claim God's protection around you. Whatever area applies to your life tonight, we might be more like the Gabeon people of Judah during this account, and like the king of the north, king of Israel at this time. We will trust in the Lord our God, and He will be our strength. As we pray together, our Lord and our God, King of the universe, if there's any area in any of our lives where it's not right with You that we cannot say we've kept the command of the Lord our God and that the Lord our God is on our side. And we ask, Lord, that You would cleanse us and cleanse it so fully and so perfectly that it could be said about us as it was said about David. They have done always what was right in My eyes. May our record be cleansed and the sins and the wrong choices and the rebellion be forgotten and blotted out and nailed, buried with the Messiah, and washed away from us. Fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your strength. Fill us with Your power. Live holy lives. And Lord, Yah, we want You to be our Father. We want You to be our God. In Yeshua's holy name, amen.